Often I have told you that when it comes to our scripture readings in church on Sundays or even regular daily masses, they are layers of meaning beyond that which is obvious. And I think today is one of those times where we have to dig a little deeper. Our gospel today seems like another one of those healing stories of the Lord where he rewards someone. They have incredible faith, and so then he heals some aspect of their body. Well, though it is a healing episode in the life of Christ, there is another aspect that runs like a thread from the first reading through to the gospel. And I think taking a look at the life of our patron saint here, Saint Francis, will help us to see how that thread really goes through the readings and helps us respond to Jesus' invitation to live a life of faith. So let me recall for you the very dramatic turn in St. Francis' life. You got to remember that he came from a very wealthy family in his time, and he stood to inherit his father's entire business. He was the oldest son. In other words, the world was his. But despite all that, despite having gone off to war and some other experiences, he felt very empty. He knew something was terribly missing in his life. And that search for meaning led him to the church of San Damiano, just outside of Assisi, where he lived. And while he was praying there in the church, he heard Jesus Christ speak to him from the crucifix hanging there in the church. And Jesus said, "Francis, repair my church, which has fallen into ruin." Now, he assumed that Jesus was talking about this particular church because it was crumbling. It was in ruins. So acting in an impetuous way, he took some very expensive fabrics from his father's shop, and he was going to sell it to make some money so he could start rebuilding that church. But his father didn't see this as a good thing. He saw it as theft. So what does he do? He drags Pietro, his father, drags Francis in the main square right in front of the bishop. And in front of everyone who was gathered there, he demanded a return of his money. The bishop was kind to Francis, however. He told him, "You return the money and God will provide." Return the money and God will provide. And that was all Francis needed to hear. He did give back the money, but then he did something even more dramatic. He stripped himself of all his clothes. And in front of the crowd that had gathered there, he said, "Pietro Bernardone is no longer my father. From now on, I can say with complete freedom, our Father who art in heaven." Our Father who art in heaven. And so wearing nothing but cast off rags, he went away very happy. He was even singing. And then a bit later, when robbers beat him and took the rags that were his clothes, he climbed out of that ditch and he went off and he was still happy and he was still singing. Francis had stripped himself of everything he had, every single possession. He literally had nothing, but somehow he felt that he had gained everything. And that would lead him not to rebuild a small little dilapidated church building, but to rebuild the entire Catholic Church. How? By the sheer witness of his life and his holiness. Let's take a look at the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading. You know, he offers absolute beautiful words in the reading. They're so hopeful, those promises that are made in that reading. But did you know that they were spoken at an incredibly difficult time for the Jewish community? He speaks those words on behalf of God when all of the Jews had been taken away from the land of Israel into exile into Babylon. And the temple that was the absolute most important thing in worship for the Jewish people had been completely destroyed. They had been taken away to slavery and they had lost absolutely everything. They had been stripped to nothing. But at their lowest point, when they had no reason to hope, comes this promise of restoration. These beautiful words of hope. And historically, we know that they would return to Jerusalem and get to rebuild the temple and also rebuild their lives. And I think our gospel has a similar situation. Bartimaeus, he was a blind beggar. He could not work because he was blind. And so he had nothing except that cloak that he was wearing. But that cloak served many purposes. It was his shelter when the weather was bad. It was probably the bed that he slept on. It was, in a sense, his only home and his only possession. But when Jesus calls him, he abandoned it and immediately went to Jesus. Nothing was going to hold him back from connecting with Jesus, not even his precious cloak. He did receive his sight back, and then he immediately followed the Lord Jesus. But before he could freely follow Jesus, he felt that he had to throw off the only possession that he had. My dear friends, isn't it amazing? When all seems lost, when Francis, the Israelites, and Bartimaeus, when they have nothing, it is only then that they are able to gain absolutely everything. They were literally stripped of everything, some by their own choice, and others had everything stripped away from them involuntarily. In the case of Bartimaeus, I think it was a little combination of both. His blindness forced poverty upon him, but his faith led him to throw off even the last possession he had. Whether voluntary or involuntary, the result is the same. Hope and faith find their highest expression when people have nothing to rely on but God alone. And it is then that we are free enough to completely give our lives over to Jesus Christ. And I think all of that is reflected in our lives today. Certainly, most of us won't find ourselves in situations where absolutely everything that we have, everything that is important to us, is completely stripped away. But I do believe that many of us, most of us, can feel times of utter emptiness. Perhaps some traumatic episode can occur, like the loss of a job or perhaps the loss of a home. We can also feel empty if we feel alone or unloved in this world of ours. No doubt we feel that emptiness when someone important to us has died. It can feel sometimes like our lives have ended. The emptiness can at times seem overwhelming. I will bet that all of you can identify plenty of times in your life when you have felt that deep, utter emptiness. I know I have. I've had those times. The irony is that when we are empty, when we have no place else to turn, it's then that we can be filled up by Jesus Christ himself. In fact, each episode of emptying in our lives is basically only a rehearsal. We come into this world, even if we are born to wealthy parents, we come in with nothing, actually. And when we die, we will leave with nothing material. We cannot take it with us. All we can carry with us are those things that you cannot see, which are faith, hope, and love. I even think that the humiliation that the church is feeling with this most recent abuse crisis is a time of emptying. We are being stripped of much, money, prestige, power, and honor. But if we do it right, if we allow complete truth to win out, emptying ourselves of any illusions that this crisis is somehow manageable, and strip ourselves of lies or cover-up or whatever, then we have a chance to completely put our lives at the feet of Jesus Christ and serve the least amongst us in humility and in truth. My dear friends, self-emptying in this world is a rehearsal for that final emptying. We will, every single one of us, breathe our last someday. At that point, nothing will matter except our relationship to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And all Jesus the Lord will ask us is, how well did we follow him? And how well did we serve his people?